Each morning in preschool, my daughter constructed a tall and elaborate castle out of blocks, ribbons, and paper, only to have the same classmate, a little boy, gleefully destroy it. Over a period of several weeks, one or the other of the boy's parents, both invariably pleasant, would step forward after the fact and repeat any number of well-worn platitudes as my daughter fumed. "He's just going through a phase. He's such a boy. He loves destroying things." And, my personal favorite, "he just can't help himself." Over time, my daughter grew increasingly frustrated and angry. But my daughter didn't yell, kick, throw a tantrum, or strike out at him. First, she asked him politely to stop. Then she stood in his way, body blocking him, but gently. She built a stronger foundation so that her castles would be less likely to topple. She moved to another part of the classroom. She behaved exactly how you would want someone to behave if she was following all the rules about how to be a nice person. It didn't work. For weeks, his parents never swooped in before he took apart her building. They only commented afterward. Like many parents, I followed an unspoken rule about not disciplining other people's children. In the meantime, I imagined his mother and father thinking, because they often did their thinking out loud, "What red-blooded boy wouldn't knock it down?" It was so tempting. She was building a glittery tower in a public space. He was a boy who couldn't control himself and, being a boy, had violent inclinations. Besides, ultimately, wasn't she responsible for keeping her building safe? It's not like she made a big fuss when he knocked it down, so she mustn't have cared that much. As a matter of fact, she did what studies show is common among girls this age. Angry school-age girls tend not to vent, but instead, to dig in and find ways to protect their interests quietly. Meanwhile, what example did I set for my angry daughter? It depends on your perspective. Many people would say it was good for her to learn to be patient and kind, polite and understanding. Looking back, I think I set an awful example. My attempts to teach her how to avoid damage, live cooperatively with others, and be a good citizen were gendered in unhelpful ways. I tried to help her accomplish her goal, an intact building, but I didn't give her anger the uptake, meaning validation and support that it deserved. Neither did any of the other adults. She had every right to be angry, but I didn't encourage her to express herself in a way that was public, disruptive, or demanding. In the interest of classroom relations, I politely talked to the boy's parents. They sympathized with my daughter's frustration, but only to the extent that they sincerely hoped she found a way to feel better. They didn't seem to see that she was angry, nor did they understand that her anger was a demand on their son in direct relation to their own inaction. They were perfectly content to rely on her cooperation in his working through what he wanted to work through, yet they felt no obligation to ask him to do the same. Even in this early and relatively innocent setting, he was already mislearning the meaning of no. He was running roughshod, with no sense of consequences, over the people around him. By default, his feelings were prioritized, and he was not only allowed, but also encouraged, to control the environment. Scenarios like this play out over and over again throughout childhood. In my experience, it is difficult for many adults to accept that boys can and should control themselves and meet the same behavioral standards that we expect from girls. It's even harder to accept that girls feel angry and have legitimate rights not to make themselves cheerfully available as resources for boys' development. In 2014, researchers from multiple universities conducted a large-scale four-country study into preschool preparedness and gender. Children in the United States showed the largest gender gaps in self-regulation. Researchers found that parental and teacher expectations of gender informed the way that children acted and were evaluated, and ultimately whether or not they were held accountable for controlling themselves. Sex differences in self-control, other research indicates, are almost certainly what we call epigenetic, reflecting the interaction of genetic predisposition and social and cultural expectations. Had my daughter responded with a disruptive, loud display of anger, the focus of the discussion probably would have concerned her behavior, not the boys. it would have been falsely equated with or even prioritized over the boy's lack of control or empathy, instead of being seen as a justifiable response to his bad behavior.